Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
The title of today's message is Caught, Not Taught. Amen? So we're going to be in John chapter 7, and we're going to be in verse 14 through 19. So let's get into it. John chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, 'How did this man get such learning without having studied?' Jesus answered, 'My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak of my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" So let's talk about this verse, or these verses, and what does it mean? The first part of this verse is this, is that the Jews didn't really understand Jesus. They didn't even know what to do with the guy. A large part of Jesus' ministry was having to explain to people who he was and what he was doing. Everywhere he went and when he did things, people would look at him and say, "Man, this guy's a carpenter's son. I don't understand why he's doing these big, powerful things." And so Jesus would constantly have to tell them, "Listen, I'm coming from the Father. I'm the one that God sent. I'm here to show you a new way." And so he's constantly having to explain himself. He would tell his story, right? A parable about some seeds or rocks and a man had a field or whatever. And then he would tell people what it meant. And he constantly spoke in parables. Part of the reason why he spoke in parables is because he wanted the people that believed in him to understand what he was saying. But the people that didn't believe in him, they couldn't understand what he was saying. And so he kind of wanted that to happen somewhat. But these Jews, specifically in this story, they still don't understand him. They've heard about him. They've heard about his miracles. They're hearing about things that we're doing. But they couldn't understand that he could be as smart as he is without having to go to a rabbinical school. A rabbinical school means a school for rabbis, because that's how the Jewish people did it. I mean, if you were going to be smart and you were going to teach people the things of God, you had to go to rabbi school. And then when you came out of rabbi school, then people look at you and they'd say, "Man, you're so smart. That's fantastic." And Jesus didn't go to rabbi school. Jesus went to the school of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's where he went. He graduated cum laude. He went. He took care of it. And so in their eyes, they think, well, you're not fitting into the mold of what we think it takes for somebody to be intelligent. And so they discounted what he said. They discounted what he was doing. The truth is, they really didn't want to understand. They were so stuck in their way of thinking. They were in this group of religious people that get their minds wrapped around of how they think God should be. Isn't anybody like this? They kind of just, well, God lives in this box that I've created in my head. You know what's interesting about human nature? We so diligently want to make sense of our world that we'll close the book on things just so they'll make sense so we don't have to think about them again. It's true. People do it. They're like, well, that's just the way it is. This way mom is. That's the way dad is. That's just how things are going to be. And so they'll do whatever it takes to be able to make sense of something in their world so they don't have to they don't have to think about it again. You guys know anybody like this? Right? That's what these Jewish people are doing. They don't truly want to understand the things of God. They just want to make sense in their own head. You know what it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2? It says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." A fool. If you don't, it's in the Bible, brother. It is good. Amen? And that's really, describes a lot of religious people, is that they don't really want to understand. And you know what the Bible calls somebody who doesn't want to understand? The Bible calls them a fool. It says that they don't really have any idea of what they're trying to do. They only take a pleasure in expressing their opinion. Well, I think God's like this. I think the Bible's like this. Really, with no knowledge of truly what the Bible says or truly about the nature of God, they just like their own opinion. These religious people, Jesus was just an ordinary guy to them, the son of a carpenter. And they are puzzled with Jesus' ability to understand the scriptures and to be able to articulate what they said. They struggle with it. How is this possible? My wife isn't in service right now. She must be upstairs helping out. I hear there's a lot of kids upstairs. Bless God. My wife knows the Bible better than anybody I know, including myself. And she has zero formal education in things of the Bible. She never went to Bible college. She never went to seminary. She never did that. I mean, she didn't even get saved until she was 23 years old. And she knows what the Word of God says. I mean, I'll be in social situations with people that have letters after their name, and bless God, my wife will be like, the Bible doesn't say that. It's just my wife. Don't worry about it. It's fine. No, honey, it doesn't. And no, in 1 Chronicles, it says this. And the guy's like, oh, but you don't understand what it means. My wife's like, I don't care what you think it means. I'll tell you what it says. And so sometimes people will discount my wife because they'll say, where'd you go to seminary? And she goes, Sema what? I tell you, between the two of us, the person that has the hardest problem with articulating things in their head is me, because I was polluted by seminary. A lot of people call seminary cemetery because it's just where good, godly people go to die. It is. You end up in some cemetery and they're teaching you all these falsehoods about the Word and trying to, you know, take your head somewhere else. And you come out, you're like, gosh, I thought I knew what I believed until some guy said something about some book. And these religious people are no different, man. They have this idea in their head of how they feel things should be. And so because they feel that way, they're putting that on Jesus too. And they say, well, you're supposed to do it the way that we do it, not the way that you're doing it. Amen. Today, there are still a bunch of religious people that think the only way people can learn the things of God is for someone else to teach them. It's true. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. There are things that you can be taught. Okay? There is information that can be taught, but Jesus wasn't taught these things. He was given this knowledge by the Holy Spirit so he could impart them to the people of the time and for us. And you know what I love about Jesus? Jesus doesn't care to do things how the world does them. He does them his way. He says, listen, I'm not confined by whatever rules you want to make up in your own head of how you think things should be done. I'm Jesus. I'll do things the way that I want them. And you may not understand them. You may not agree with them. You may not like them, but I don't really care because I'm Jesus, you're not, this is how it's going to be. Amen? Do you realize that people are going to say things about what we do or how we do it, and they're not going to understand it as a church? People already thought you were weird before you started going to this church, just so you know. I mean, Jesus says to these guys, he says, listen, man, if you knew me, you wouldn't even question me. It's what he says. Jesus' struggles were with religious people who claimed to know God but didn't really know him. They just said that they knew him. There is a difference, you know. There's a difference between saying that you know God and actually knowing God. And the problem with a lot of Christianity is that we produce people that say that they're Christians that don't really follow God. They think that all they need to do is say something and it makes them a Christian. Or they think that they need to attend something and it makes them a Christian. Or I need to become a member and then that makes me a Christian. None of those things make you a Christian. The only thing that makes you a Christian is believing in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. And then you got to follow him. You got to follow him. Because honestly, if you believed, you would follow. So if you're not following, you don't believe. It's true. And so we say, well, that's kind of judgmental. I'm not being judgmental, man. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. The problem with the religious people is that they were 100% convinced of who and what God was and how and where he operated and what he did, and Jesus didn't fit in that mold. It happened last week, man, when all the Holy Spirit stuff started happening here. That people were like, well, this doesn't fit into the mold of what I thought God did. It's true. Man, there's people speaking in tongues. Why are they speaking in tongues? Because the Bible talks about speaking in tongues. Not like one obscure scripture. Chapters, man. You've got to rip pages out of the Bible to not believe in speaking in tongues. So people say, well, that's not for today. Well, you don't want it. You don't have it. You don't have to. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. It says forbid not. You know, and what happens is people, because they had it in their mind, because somebody else told them that it wasn't of God, because, oh, well, that ceased when this point or whatever. And I'm like, dude, you're twisting some scripture just because you're weirded out about some people speaking weird. And I'll be first to say, man, it's weird. Can amen somebody? It's weird. It's also weird that God made you out of dirt. It's also weird that he made a donkey speak. It's also weird that he spit in somebody's eye to heal him. The things of God are weird. But people get things in their mind that are just ungodly because they don't read the Word for themselves. If you have a problem with speaking in tongues, go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, and then come back and tell me it's not of God. And just say, well, I just want to rip these pages out. It's true. And that's what people do. They get so upset because they don't want to face what the Word of God says. People say, oh, man, I don't know about these people falling out in the Spirit, man. It seems pretty ungodly to me. Well, explain to me this, Batman. Like, how come it is that some little teeny bopper can see Justin Bieber and fall out and like, ah! And everybody's like, oh, man, they love them some Bieber. How come people fell out when the Beatles walked in a room, or because Mick Jagger or Frankie Avalon or whatever, multi-generational church, you got to include them all. And then people don't question that. But somebody's under the power of the risen Savior in such power that they can't even hold, they can't even stand up anymore. They're just like, ooh. Which one's weirder, man? I'll tell you what's weirder is falling out in front of a person instead of falling out in front of God. And when you look into the Scriptures, there's many people when they're under the presence of God that they couldn't stand. It says it. It's in the Word. But people are just like, well, I don't see a doctrine of it. We see a doctrine about how you chew your food. Somehow you figure it out, man. This is good. Is it elevating God or elevating yourself, man? Because Jesus didn't fit in what they thought they could and should do. They didn't get behind him all the way. They questioned what he did. And Jesus puts them in their place. If you really knew who God was, you wouldn't be asking me these dumb questions. That was mine. He didn't say dumb questions. You wouldn't be asking me these things. You'd be supporting me. He says it in verse 17. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. If you are doing the will of God, you know what the will of God is. And you don't question it when you see it. You know that it's of Him. Anybody that passionately loves God and is under the presence of the Holy Spirit doesn't question whether or not it's the Holy Spirit or not, because you know it's the Holy Spirit. And one of the most beautiful things about last weekend, and I understand, man, Pastor Raymond, he just flows in a different anointing. I mean, I'm not saying, it's fine. If God wants to do it with me, He can do it with me. It's no big deal, okay? But that's not, as I see, the primary way that the Holy Spirit uses me in my ministry. Same with Pastor Crystal and how she, you know, she has a gift of prophecy, or different people like Pastor Kirby, he really flows in healing and those type of things. It's like God will bestow a certain gift on people that is the primary gift that they flow in. But one of the things about Pastor Raymond when he was here, and if you're here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That guy operates in love. The Holy Spirit prepared your heart for the move of the Spirit long before it ever even happened, and confirmed in your heart that it was of God because Pastor Raymond wasn't elevating himself. And for those of you that haven't been around Christianity a lot, people that flow with stuff like this will try to do whatever they can to elevate themselves. They really do. They like after the service, like trying to get your information so that you can like get on their email list and you can send them money and everything else. Pastor Raymond wasn't like that. He's like, it's fine. This is of God. Jesus, when he did the things that he did them under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people that knew that he was of God didn't question those things. When you see things in the moves of God and you know that they're of God, you don't question them because the Holy Spirit himself lets you know that it is of God. Amen? The problem with these religious people is that they were so locked into how things should be done that they forgot about the part about God doing to them however he wants to accomplish those things. Amen? God can do whatever he wants. Some people, I mean, and it hasn't happened here, but, so, you know, people talk about, like, crazy stuff, man, like olive oil on their skin after a worship service. And somebody's like, whoa, somebody walking by with Pam and spraying on people? And I was like, I don't know, man. And it's just like, well, that ain't in the Bible. Well, it may not be, but if somebody has olive oil on them that wasn't there before, and then they do, and it didn't come from me throwing it on them. And somebody's like, well, why would God do something like that? I don't know, because maybe you're so lunk-headed that you won't believe the rest of his miracles and the rest of his creation to get you to believe in him. So you got to see something that's so whacked out of the left part, kind of whatever. You'd be like, dude, that has to be God. It's true. Is he not powerful enough to do that? He put a coin in a fish's mouth to illustrate a point. Jesus was like, hey, grab that fish. Let me see it. There's a coin in there. You get a coin in a fish's mouth. Because he's God, man. He can do whatever he wants. You better start believing he'll make a coin pop out of your mouth. Amen? You're like, where did this come from? You can do it. Jesus isn't there for himself, folks. At this point, Jesus has not been glorified to the fullness of who he was. He was just doing what the Father intended for him to do, which was to elevate the Father. He says it in verse 16, Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. And that's what Jesus came to do, to elevate the Father. Amen? Push us towards a relationship of loving and supporting everything that God has for us, to draw us closer in the relationship with God. You know, that's the deal about a lot of these gifts, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We were never intended to follow the gifts. You know, you're not supposed to serve God just so that every week you can fall out and, you know, speak in tongues. Because that doesn't produce anything. It's supposed to draw you into a deeper relationship with God. To want to worship Him more and praise Him more and serve Him more. I mean, there's nothing wrong with some tinglies, man. I like it when the tinglies come. But the tinglies in and of themselves are not the end. The end result is supposed to be a heart directed towards the Father. And so what happens with a lot of people is they get so excited about the tinglies, they want to follow the tinglies instead of following the Father. They're more concerned with than did I fall out this week versus, like, did I do what God told me to do this week? And we can't be a church that is so concerned about, like, getting fun Disneyland Sundays and forget it was like Disneyland, man. It was awesome. And forgetting that it's supposed to produce righteousness in us. It's supposed to produce a heart that longs after the Spirit of the Father. Amen? Because that's what God desires of us. He desires deep, intimate relationship with us. Because here's part of it, too, is that Jesus had pure motives in everything that he did. When he had pure motives, he had them because he truly desired that people be drawn into a relationship with him. And people questioned his motives. They say, well, how is it possible that he really desires that people would have pure motives? It's no different than today. A lot of times, stuff like this happens, and you question the motives of the person that's flown in the Spirit. Because you say, well, they probably want to do this, and they probably want to do that, and question people's motives. Watch this. Here's what happens. A lot of times, it's because you don't have pure motives in your own life. And so it's hard for you to believe that someone else can have pure motives because you don't have pure motives yourself. Wow, that hurt, didn't it? I know it because of myself, man. I didn't have to think about you. I just thought about myself. I question people's motives sometimes because sometimes my motives are impure. Because I'm human, I'm flawed. But it is possible to have pure motives. It is. Jesus had them, and he desires for us to have those pure motives too. Jesus had the purest motives possible. Amen? The last part of this verse, but not of my sermon. I told you 12:20. We ain't going nowhere. Have you guys noticed how I set up my sermon? The first half of it is always what it says. The second half of it is what it means to you. Okay? First half is what it means. Second half is what it means to you. So when you see me get into the end of the scripture, don't think you're getting out of here because I haven't even started to preach yet. Amen? Just warming you up so I can begin to hammer you a little bit. So let me finish the first half before we get into the second half. The last part of the scripture is, you know the truth and you don't keep it. Jesus tells these guys, you're so sure that I am not from God, but here's the truth. The things that you do know, you're not even doing. Verse 19, is not Moses giving you the law, yet not one of you keeps the law? Why are you trying to kill me? Folks, how can you expect the miraculous things of God when you won't even walk out the basic things that God is teaching you? If you want the fancy, how come I didn't fall out? Well, maybe because you can't even handle showing up to church. Maybe you can't even handle reading your Bible. You can't even handle praying a few times a week. Can't even walk out the basic things that you already know. And you say, well, I want God to move in my life. You can't even handle the Ten Commandments. In stone, written on the wall. And you're like, man, I can't even do that. But I want some craziness in my life. Do the stuff that you already know. You want to see big, exciting things from God, but you can't even handle the basic, tiny stuff that God is trying to get out of you and through you. How about you do the stuff you do know, and then you can worry about the bigger stuff. Amen? People want to experience this exciting, miraculous things of God without even doing the basic stuff. That's what Jesus says to these guys. He said, you know the law, but you don't even do that. You know, when I was in high school, I was a high school wrestler. And there was this guy, his name was Chris. And Chris used to always come down to wrestling practice, and he would stand on the side of the mat, and he would give people advice on how they should be wrestling. But he wasn't on the team. He wasn't, well, he had wrestled like 1 year, but he, for whatever reason, didn't wrestle that year. And he used to love to come down to wrestling practice and stand on the edge of the mat and tell people how they should wrestle. And one day it occurred to me, this guy ain't even on the team. This guy is trying to tell us how we should wrestle, and he's not even on the team himself. He's not even wrestling, and he's trying to tell people how they should wrestle. If you can't even show up and do the minimum, you're not the guy that I want speaking into how I can be a better wrestler. Amen? If you know the truth, keep it. But don't put work on other people that you won't put into yourself. So what does this mean to you? First thing, the things of God are caught, not taught. Amen, somebody? The things of God are caught, not taught. Verse 16, Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. One of the hardest things about Christianity is trying to teach someone something that can't really be taught. The only way is to catch it. I cannot explain everything when it comes to the things of God. Sometimes you have to experience them for yourself. I cannot explain to you how to surrender your life in worship. I cannot explain to you how to stop living 100% for yourself. I cannot explain to you what it's like to be in the presence of the living God and have Him repair things in your heart that can only be repaired by His presence. Some things are not taught, they are only caught. And when you think about the move of the Spirit that happens in our church, even last week, like I can't... What happened last weekend? It was awesome. Can you explain to me? It was awesome. How can I have a move like that in my life? Just got to make sure you don't miss church, man.
Amen.
I tell you guys all the time. That's why I never miss church, because it's going to be the one that you miss. The one that everybody's like, man, that was awesome. And you're like, why wasn't I there? That's what happened. She just said, next weekend better be not good, because I'm not going to be here. Their first vacation in 2 years. So let's get crazy next week. Amen. Let's do it. Nobody ever go on vacation. The teaching that Jesus got wasn't learned. It was downloaded from heaven. The Holy Spirit taught it to him. Some of you are expecting that you're going to read some book that some guy wrote that's going to take you deeper in Jesus. The truth is you need to get deeper with him to learn to go deeper. So we say, well, how do I do that? Well, you need to worship more than you've ever worshipped before. You need to pray more than you've ever prayed before. Give more than you ever gave before. Serve more than you ever gave before. Empty yourself out more. You have to do that part, then you'll catch the other part. And some people are waiting, well, I'll do that once I catch it. No, you catch it by doing that. You know, part of what God ordained over that weekend is that, you know, I think the reason why the Holy Spirit's able to move so powerfully on that Sunday is because you were so emotionally and physically broken down from the rest of the weekend. I mean, it's fun to go to church 3 days in a row. And after the first day, you remember how fast we entered into worship on the second night? The Spirit of God was like, and then Sunday, it was like a flood. It was like, because we were all, like, we were all concerned with the things of God. We were all, like, focused on Him and worshiping Him throughout the weekend. And so when those things happen, it happens because you put yourself in a position to catch it. Amen? I cannot teach you how to pray in tongues. It cannot be taught. It can only be caught. You have to tarry before God on your knees and say, God, this is a gift that I want. Do it in me and through me, and I want it. I have to do it. That's some people are like, well, shouldn't it just tell me a manual or whatever? The manual is the Bible. The way you do it is you get before God and you pray. I mean, that's how I received the baptism of the Holy, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's how I began speaking in tongues. I went into the chapel at my university and I said, God, if this is from you, I want it. And I went there every single day and I prayed for hours. And I don't remember how long it took. I just remember after a long time of going up there, one time I walked out of this Methodist University chapel speaking in tongues. And everybody looked at me like, what happened to you? And I'm like, I don't know. But I went up there and I said, I'm not coming out until God gives it to me. caught, not taught, man. And some people say, well, I'm not going to do all that craziness. Fine. You don't have to speak. You make to heaven without speaking in tongues. You can do it. It's fine. I just don't know why you would want to. You can go to heaven without going to Disneyland or eating donuts either. Amen. Just saying. 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. You do not need anyone to teach you the things of God. You need the word to validate the things of God, and the things that are of God are always validated by his word. But you can learn things of God without ever having to put your nose in the Word, just because the Holy Spirit will impart those things into you. They'll be validated by the Word, because you're not going to do anything that isn't outside of the Word. But you can learn them without having to read the Word. Amen? Doesn't mean don't read your Word. You read your Word. Amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You can't be taught things of God that are of the Holy Spirit. They have to be caught. Amen? They have to be caught. There's a young man in first service. He's not here, but he's just been coming to... I guess he's not young. You notice how the older you get, the younger the young man gets? Some of you older people call me a young man. And then I got people in my 20. I'm like, that young man. and he'll tell you, man, he was not walking with God when he first came to this church, and so he couldn't understand the things of God. Now that he's walking with God and the Holy Spirit is indwelled within him, now he completely understands the things of God. It's like the scales have been lifted off of his eyes, and now he can truly see that that this is of God. You know, in Acts chapter 8, this will be your homework. Read in Acts chapter 8 about Simon the sorcerer. This guy, Simon the sorcerer, thought that he could buy the power of the Holy Spirit. He saw people moving the power of the Holy Spirit, and he says, hey, I want some of that. Can I buy it? I'm like, you can't buy this thing, man. The only way you can get it is by going to the Holy Spirit yourself. And so he was frustrated. He's like, well, I just want to buy it. And sometimes Christian people are that way too, where they're just like, well, I want the deeper things of God. I want the more powerful things of God. I want to take a class. I want to go to a seminar. I want to do something. Dude, you can't buy this thing, man. You cannot buy the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only comes when you ask him, and then it comes through. Amen? Because here's the second part of it. When you catch it, you will know it. You'll know it. They say, how do I know it? You'll know it. Amen? Verse 17, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Amen? I have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me, and I know when somebody is perpetrating a fraud. And some of you say, how do you know that? Because I know. I've got the Holy Spirit, man. I know when somebody is completely submitted to the will of God in their lives or they're not. You say, well, that's kind of judgmental, isn't it? I'm like, is it? Or is it just God has given me insight? Because you can tell if somebody's really into something or not. People can't fake. They think they can fake me. Are you kidding me? The only reason why I don't call them out on their nonsense is because I'm a gentleman. And I'll allow people to just perpetrate the fraud for a long time. Because I don't want them to change for me. I want them to change once the Holy Spirit gets them. And I've seen it so many times in the life of this church. People come in and are like, oh, I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you don't. And then one day, they're like hit with it. And they're like, I love Jesus. That is God. It's just me in my life. I'm like, aha. Broken people act a different way. Filled people act a different way. And this only comes through the gain of this knowledge yourself. But eventually, and say amen if you know what I'm talking about. You know it. And you know it. You know, it says in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you most things. Was it up there? All things. And bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit will do in your life. When you have the Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit looks like and sounds like and acts like. When you see it, you know it. And if you don't see it, you know it. Okay? You guys probably learned a little bit about me this weekend when you guys saw my gospel hip-hop artist on Saturday night. Man, it was so amazing. So for those of you that don't know, my main genre of music that I enjoy listening to, I have two genres of music that I listen to. One is worship music. The other one is Christian hip hop. I love Christian rap, man. I've loved it. I've loved it since I got saved. and so part of being a guy that listens to hip hop, you need an enormously loud stereo in your car. And so, listen, man, don't judge. Everybody's got their thing. I've got mine, okay? So if you find my little toaster Scion and you open up the back hatch, you'll see 2 10-inch woofers in the back of this thing. And so about 2 months ago, I had a box. It had 2 10s, and I had an amplifier to go with it. And Brother Aaron said to me, he's over there, Brother Aaron said to me, he goes, man, let's hook that thing up. And I was like, all right, let's go hook it up. So he came over on a Friday night, and we spent, 4 hours working on this thing. And we were running wires and taking off panels. Excuse me. Aaron was running wires and taking off panels. And I was sitting there encouraging him. I was like, you go, and handing him stuff. He was doing most of the work. I was really encouraging, though, and bought him dinner and everything. He did most of the work. So a little bit about car stereo. You've got your receiver, you've got your amplifier, you got your speakers. Signal goes to the amplifier. Amplifier amplifies to the speakers, and then you get lots of boom, okay? And so so we get it all set up, and we're sitting in my garage, and I'm like, let's go. Turn it up. Donk, 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 donk. Now, mind you, when it turns on, it's supposed to go boom, boom, but it didn't. Donk, 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 donk. And I looked at Aaron, Aaron looked at me, I was like, dude, what's the problem? And he was like, we'll figure it out. So then he starts twisting knobs and pulling wires. He's like, this is going to work, this is going to work. Donk, donk, donk. Dog. And we fussed with it for like a good hour and a half after, and he looked at me and he was like, and he didn't say it with anything except his eyes, but he was just like, dude, I'm sorry. I don't know why. We've got all the components necessary to make this thing work. It's just not working. And I looked at him with the same eyes like, dude, I understand. We've got all the pieces. This thing's supposed to work, but it's just not working. Jump ahead like 2 months, man. So, now listen, don't judge me, okay? But, dude, when I drive, I turn it up, I'm rolling. So that's how I like to roll. I'll leave church on a Wednesday night, roll down all my windows, turn my stereo up all the way, and drive with my windows down all the way up Highway 18. Yeah, I'm that guy. But I'll tell you which guy I'm not. I'm not the guy that does it at the stoplight. So whenever I go to the stoplight, I turn it down because I'm not going to be that guy. So I'm up in Covington. I just left my house. I'm on Wax Road, 256. And as luck would have it, I'm right behind a police officer. And so I turn it down. And for whatever reason, when I slipped my finger and I hit this other button on my deck, and it went from duck, duck, to buh, 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 buh. And I was like, yeah, man, it's banging, it's banging. So then I was like, turn it down, cops, cops, like that. And then the light changed, and I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, that's what I was looking for. And it was like, bah, bah, like teeth are rattling, eyes are watering. Everybody's looking. I was like, let's go. And so some of y'all say, man, why are you taking such a long time to tell such a funny story? I'll tell you why. A lot of Christian people have all the components in their lives, but no power. I go to church, I read my Bible, but they ain't got that button of the Holy Spirit. They don't have that button of the Holy Spirit, and it's a tiny little button that people say, well, I don't understand, how come I don't have the rah, 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 rah? Then you're going to have it. That's just how it is. Tiny, tiny little thing that'll change the complete trajectory. You can have all the components, but you don't have that one little component, and you're just not going to have it. Amen? You can have everything that you think you need, but without that button of the Holy Spirit, you're not going anywhere. You know what it's supposed to sound like. Here's the last part of this sermon, and we'll get out of here. When you catch it, you share it. Okay? When you catch it, you share it. Jesus says to these guys, he says, I'm about my Father's business, so don't worry about what my motives are. I am here to elevate the Father. Folks, who do you elevate with your life? Yourself? Jesus? If your motives are to elevate Christ, then bless God. If they're not, get your heart right. Because our lives are supposed to be about making Jesus the complete center of our lives. That's our call. As your pastor, that I beat that into us every single week. I want you to make Jesus the center of your life. It says in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should do.
You'd think that would be a part where you'd say amen. I'm like, oh, that's good. You're
mesmerized. You know what's funny is somebody this week told me that their family thinks we're a cult. Oh, yeah, that's when you really know you're making it. As soon as you get the cult moniker, you're on your way. Amen. Yeah, so they said that their family figured that we were a cult because we're always like down here and worshiping and doing the things of God. And I thought, man, why do you think we're weird? Just because we drink the blood of Jesus, eat his flesh, heal the sick, and speak in tongues. That's not weird. Amen. And it wasn't even that. What made them question who we were as a church is because we're actually passionate about serving God. Seriously? They went to church. Why are them people always down there, always worshiping Jesus? Got to be a cult. People that went to church said there's no reason why somebody should be down at church that often worshiping. And that's that part of where people, when they begin to see people that actually walk out a passionate following and serving of God, they question whether or not it's real. People that are fully consumed with the things of God, their only answer is somehow we've got to be a cult. People can't actually be fully consumed with the things of God. That's not possible. Because it's completely impossible that we actually believe what we believe and do what we do because God is who he says he is and will do what he says he does. We're a cult because we actually believe in the Bible. We actually want to experience the power of God in our lives. We actually want him to change us and to fill us and to transform us. We believe that he can heal people. We believe that he can change people. And we believe that it's good for us to be in community and to be in relationship and in fellowship. We will give away what we need to people who need it. We will give away things that we do not have. We will serve him wholeheartedly. We will pour out our lives until we are empty and people think that we're weird when that's what we're called to do. You guys ever, and I'll tell you this last story and then we'll leave. I said 12:25. I didn't lie. I'm just going to ask you for another couple minutes. It's fine. It's totally fine. Michael Jordan, you guys remember this guy? He played basketball.
Yeah.
You guys ever heard of him? Say amen if you ever heard of him.
Amen.
Yeah, everybody's heard of Michael Jordan. And one of the things about Michael Jordan that I love is that he was one of the hardest working guys in basketball. A lot of people thought he was naturally talented. He'll tell you, I wasn't naturally talented. I just worked hard at it. You know, the day after Michael Jordan won his first NBA championship, and nobody say anything that was in first service, first day after he won his first NBA championship, does anybody know what he did the next day? Say it. Practice. You knew it, right? You've heard the story. And the reason why he went to practice the next day is because he knew that he wanted to be the best that he ever could be at basketball. He was out there, and the guy at the training facility was like, why are you here? You just won an NBA championship last night. He's like, I ain't going to win a second one unless I'm down here shooting baskets. Michael Jordan worked harder than anybody ever worked at basketball. More baskets, more drills, more anything else. And so everybody goes, oh, Michael Jordan, you're so fantastic. We love you and you know, inspire my kids. And he's a shining example of what somebody can do that is willing to practice. Why do I share this story with you? Because I think basketball is stupid. I think basketball's stupid. I think football's stupid. I think soccer's stupid. I think every sport is stupid. And I'll tell you why. Michael Jordan took an inflated piece of leather and shot it through a wire hoop. That's all he did. That's all he did. He never healed the sick. He never raised the dead. But when somebody works their butt off in something that doesn't matter, we praise them. Somebody becomes fully consumed with the things of God and we mock them. When it comes to the things that you want your life to be about, again, society loves, oh man, it's so great how he doesn't spend any time with his family and he doesn't have any friends, but man, he's sure good at that sport. They're going to get him to heaven. Woo! Man, that guy's always down at church praying before God and serving and changing. Why is that guy such part of a cult? seriously? There's nothing more important in our lives than the things of God. And folks, I don't live in a world where I separate myself 100% from the world. My son played 3 sports this year. I've got a few hobbies. I've got some friends. I got, you know, all these other things. But you can still make your life 100% about consuming the things of God. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? Amen. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come before you today. And do this for me, church. If you keep your eyes closed, keep your head bowed. If you need something from Jesus this morning, would you just raise your hand? No matter what it is. You need a healing. You need His touch. You need to give your life to Him. If there's something that you need, just raise your hand. Say, God, that's me. I need something from you today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for today. We thank you for your touch. We thank you for your passion. We thank you for imparting knowledge into us, God. And God, I pray for those people today that raise their hand that you would give them what they need in Jesus' name, as it lines up with the Bible. Father, I pray that you would change lives, God, that you would fill up. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you today for your power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.